Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
My name is Nkeshi Free, and I am your host this evening for the Gridiron Blitz Radio Talk Show. And I am joined by my fabulous, awesome co-host, Mr. Eric Brown. Hi, Eric.
Hey, what's up, Keshi?
Not too much. What's going on? Did you have a good weekend so far?
Yeah, so far so good. Another child, they graduated high school, so that's number two. So we had the graduation on Friday night, and of course, my oldest daughter, who is already in college, she's back for the summer, and my mother-in-law is in town, so full house. So it's been
going
good.
God, you do have a full house, but you've got to be, so congratulations, Dad, Mom, and to the wonderful graduate. Does she know where she wants to go to school?
Yeah, she's set to go to the Art Institute, which is in another Illinois person, so that'll be number two following her big sister back up to Illinois, so she'll be going there to start. I think she starts, actually middle of July is when they start, so they start early.
Oh, wow.
So, not too much longer.
Talk about flying the nest.
Right?
Yeah, really. Talk about flying the nest, and to think I'm just complaining because my well, as far as I'm concerned, she's just not going into middle school, but middle school for us, where we live, starts in the sixth grade. So I technically have not wrapped my mind around that concept yet. So as far as I'm concerned, I now have a middle school child. So, yeah,
well, congrats. I got another middle schooler starting in the fall, too. So right there with you.
Okay. Yeah, but I really... It's really funny because we forget how much, you know, these little things matter, and they make a huge difference. I mean, these are major milestones. And so, you know, what the things that we do as family and, you know, putting together these memories and events, they actually are very impactful.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
and if you make it a big deal for them, then, you know, it stays in their mind that, hey, this is something that I need to do. So, you know, it keeps them encouraged also.
Absolutely. And I think that encouragement is absolutely so key. Well, if you don't know, Oscar obviously is not with us. And, of course, Erica is on vacation. So, yay, congratulations to you, Miss Lady. I have no idea what those look like, but I'm hoping to take one or two this summer. So, are you guys planning to do anything? Yeah. Well, you know, you've got to take those breaks. You've got to be able to take those breaks and, you know, unplug. And I find, ironically, that's actually what I put on my Facebook page today was that, you know, everything works better if you unplug it for a little while, and that includes yourself. So congratulations to both Eric and Oscar for, you know, just unplugging for a second.
Yeah.
Well,
so, yeah,
and speaking of unplugging... Yeah, me too. I totally will not be able to unplug anything for a minute. But what we can do is we can plug some of these awesome lady football scores. So today in the No Joke Football Huddle, we are going to bring you the stats and scores for the Women's Football Alliance. The ladies are already in the postseason. Can you believe it? 10 weeks. 10 weeks have flown by so
fast.
They really have, and I'm, you know, it's so exciting that, you know, that we're almost through our first full season of ladies professional football.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and I mean, I've been able to learn a lot, and like I said, it's been moving pretty quickly.
It absolutely has been moving quickly, and in the Women's Football Alliance, the scores are: we've got West Michigan Mayhem losing to the Cleveland Fuse 42-12. The DC Divas beat the Boston Renegades 56-28. The Columbus Comets in a close one with the Dark Angels 26-12. While that may not seem like it's close, considering the way some of these scores have been running away with each other, that's definitely a closer one. For example, the Kansas City Titans beat the Minnesota Machine 54-6. Indy crushed the Derby City Dynamite. Oh, talk about a tongue twister. That was awesome. Indy Crash crushed the Derby City Dynamite 41-0. The Atlanta Phoenix beat the Jacksonville Dixie Blues 13-6. The Miami Fury totally obliterated the Tampa Bay Inferno 26-0. You'll like this one. Your Chicago Force 57-0 over the St. Louis Slam. So the Slam got slammed. The Dallas Elite 59-0 over Austin Outlaws. Oh my gosh, this is probably one of the worst ones I've ever seen. The Houston Power totally crushed the South Texas Lady Crushers 72-0. And I promise the puns are not intentional. And the Acadia Zydeco 28-20 over the Tulsa Threat. The Tacoma Trauma the Everett Rain 24-13. The Seattle Majestic, way to go, coach. We just had their coach and owner on last week, 44-6 over the Portland Shockwaves. The Sin City Sun Devils, that's another cute one, 12-0 over the Utah Blitz. The Central Cal War Angels, 23-14 over the San Diego Surge. And I take it back, this is probably one of the largest scores I've ever seen. The Pacific Warriors ran over the Arizona Assassins 84-6.
Wow.
And last but not least, the West Coast Lightning 36ing over the Ventura Wolfpack. And those are your scores for the Women's Football Alliance first week of the postseason. Congratulations to the Barbara Rookies. They beat the Spanish League champions, the Black Demons. I had it backwards. In the LFNA, the Spanish League, the champs, the Black Demons, defeated the four-time champs, the Barbara Rookies, 38-26. And for more scores and updates, you can follow them online on Twitter at NFL Hispano. And again, you can follow them online on Twitter at NFL Hispano for the Spanish League. In the LFL, Lingerie Football League. God, it's just been on my head so fast. I know. Well, you know what it is? I'm so used to saying Legends of Football League now. That, you know, now that they've actually really done a good job of branding that name, Legends of Football League, that I forgot that they used to be, you know, the Lingerie Football League. But you can follow them online and for their latest updates and scores at lflus.com. And we are now headed over to the IFL Sports to get those updates and scores. And while we're waiting for those scores to post and pull up, here we go. I just want to say good luck to the DC Divas because, you know, they were playing live today on the new league that you can follow them online. Remember, we talked to Coach Scott Karen about that. And you can watch them live on the WSBN-TV. And so, again, congratulations to them. They're playing today the Pittsburgh Passion. So good luck to the Divas. I'm sorry, you know, I'm a little bit biased, but I'm honest about it. said, right now the standings in the IFL League, the Sharks are leading in the North Atlantic Division, and they have 6 wins and 2 losses. The Mid-Atlantic Division, the Passion, is leading that division 7-0. In the South Atlantic Division, the Phoenix are beating are leading that league with their division with 6 wins and 2 losses. And the Passion, let me go back and just throw that out there. Well, I said they were leading. I forgot to mention they are 7 wins and 0 losses, so they're really crushing their division. In the Great Lakes Division, the Rain are leading 3 wins and 5 losses. And in the Midwest Division, the Blaze are leading with 7 wins and 1 loss. In the Southwest Division, it's the Energy, and they are leading their division with 6 wins and 0 losses. In the Pacific West Division, the Sirens, 8-0, are leading that division. In the Mountain West Division, it's the Falcons, and they have a 4-0 lead over 4-0 record for their division. And for the and actually, that's all that we have for the IFL League. And so those are the standings for right now. And if you want to get more updates on the IFL, you can follow them online on Twitter at IWFL. Again, that is the IWFL, and that is the Independent Women's Football League. So, again, get all your scores and your updates. Follow them live on Twitter. Now, of course, as you know, we're doing the crazy official countdown because it is almost time for men's football. Are you ready?
I am ready, but one quick note. I don't know if you got the message or not, but Oscar sent me a message saying that the team doctor for the Pittsburgh Passion recently passed away, Tanya Hagen.
Oh, no, I did not.
Okay. Yeah, so I just wanted to mention that real quick. I don't know the details surrounding that, but definitely a sad situation there. And thoughts and
absolutely
prayers and condolences go out to them and everyone affected by that. So we'll definitely
absolutely
keep them in our prayers.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, and as sad as that is, it does remind us that again, this really and truly is, you know, just like we talk about being, you know, we talk about our families, you know, these football teams are families too, you know.
Right.
And they work together, they play together, you know, they, you know, just like any other locker room, these ladies and the coaches and everyone else affiliated with these teams really are a unit. So, you know, our hearts not only go out to the doctor and his family, but also to the ladies as well.
Exactly.
Thank you for
letting
me
know.
But,
yeah, on a lighter note, I'm always ready to discuss football. So, what were your
Sundays. Right now
yep.
I'm doing the
and,
happy jig.
And
I'm doing the countdown, 13 Sundays. 13 Sundays. Well, I'm going to let you take this segment, and I am going to let you lead off and tell me what do you think are your top three stories right now that, you know, that stand out to you in, you know, in terms of the NFL and getting ready for the fall season?
Well, really, I haven't gotten much news recently. I don't have access to a computer right now, but I've been kind of following the top 100 players of 2015. That's always a, you know, kind of a interesting, controversial, you know, topic that people like to debate about. So mostly been focusing on that. Haven't heard a whole lot of any, you know, anything, you know, earth shattering or, you know, nothing, you know, game changing lately. So, so that's pretty much what I've been taking a look at. What about you?
Wow. Yeah, we've got some earth shattering going over here. I don't know how you are missing this. You're right there in the land of the fabulous, in the home of the brave and the free. Did you?
Well, you know, it's all about the Cowboys,
like,
around here.
I'm sorry. Is there anything else that we should be discussing other than the evil empire? Well,
right.
Unfortunately, it's come down to this. Dez Bryant is threatening to hold out the OTAs and to sit out without the contract extension. He's not happy with the franchise tag, and he still has not signed. And, you know, and I have to say he actually has done a really good job of staying pretty quiet in terms of he's not pulling a TO and he's not sitting in the driveway, knock on wood, you know, doing sit-ups and all that other stuff. But basically, you know, to recap, he was placed under the franchise tag, which gave him a one-year deal for contract for about $12.8 million for this season, for the 2015 season. But he hasn't signed it yet. So technically he isn't under contract. So therefore, because he isn't under contract, I don't think he's also under any obligation to attend the mandatory minicamp next week either. And from what I've read, that according to the CBA, the new CBA, if they haven't signed him to the deal before July 15th, they can't they cannot continue the negotiations until the end of 2015, which means that, which is bad for him too, because that means that he has two choices. He can play under the tag or he can play not at all.
Right.
And
now,
but if he chooses not to play, then that means that he can't compete. But if he chooses not to play, then that means, and Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, that he could sit out the entire season and then they'd have to start contract negotiations all over again. Is that about
well,
right?
I don't know. I don't know for sure if they would have to. I'm sure they would probably want to. But, I mean, at that point, you know, he, I don't know if he would even want to come back to Dallas. Because I'm sure by that point he will have been contacted, you know, whether legally or illegally,
right.
by plenty of teams
right.
around the league, kind of, you know, sniffing around,
right.
checking interest. But, I mean,
yeah.
are you surprised by what's happening, though? Because it's pretty
no.
much what I expected to happen.
I mean, no, because he let everybody know back in February he did not want to be franchised. He wanted a deal. And even though... And this is what I think people fail to understand. Yes, he's holding out, but it's less about the amount of the money and more about the fact he wants two things. He wants a long-term contract, which means he wants a commitment from the Cowboys saying they're dedicated to him, and
right.
he wants guaranteed money. So that if
right.
in the unfortunate event something happens, he's still guaranteed to get paid. And I know that people, again, don't understand because I think under the current contract, or I don't know if it's the last one he had or if it's the one that they're offering. If I remember correctly, the last I heard, he has like $20 million in guaranteed, and he's trying to get, what, $30 million in guaranteed, I think, or 40. I can't remember. And while, again,
yeah, I believe so. I think it was closer to 30.
It was closer to 30. That's what I think, too. And the thing about it is that people keep saying, oh, my God, $30 million. Yes, that is a lot of money. However, if something happens that negates his ability to ever play again, then that is the money he's going to make for the rest of his life. Now, what people also don't play professional sports fail to understand is the amount of wear and tear that people put on their body. No one ever looks at their medical bills.
Right.
Like, I know, you know, I had to have several years ago, I had to have an emergency surgery. And, you know, I had a gallbladder thing and, you know, whatever. And I didn't know that it was infected. And I got really, really sick, of course, as you do. And I had to have an emergency surgery. Let's just say that minutia routine surgery, which took all of maybe 1 hour for them to perform, maybe an hour and a half, which took me about 3 weeks, from which still cost me several thousand dollars.
Right.
And I'm just average Joe American. We're talking about someone who could have an injury And again, Eric, you played, so you correct me if I'm wrong. We're talking about people who could have a lifelong injury that has them going to the hospital for physical therapy maybe for the rest of their life. And that's not unrealistic, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, you look at the fact that, you know, 6 out of every 10 NFL players walks away with permanent injuries, you know, injuries that they're going to be dealing with for the rest of their life. You know, not just for the, you know, the year or two after they retire. I mean, the rest of their life.
Right.
So you figure if you retire at, you know, 25, 26, 30, what have you, you still have another, you know, 40, 50 years of productive life that you have to deal with these permanent injuries that you've acquired throughout your playing career. And after a while, you know, medical bills, doctor visits, surgeries, all that stuff starts to rack up. And especially if you don't have insurance. So that,
exactly.
I'm sure that
$30 million
would come in handy.
And that's the other thing that people don't understand, too, is, you know, what people don't understand about the collective bargaining agreement and the other parts of the CBA is how long do you have to play in the league before you can retire and receive retirement benefits? Most of us have 401ks of some sort, you know, Social Security for whatever that's worth. But most of us have, you know, something in some kind of a 401k. You know, we get matching from a life insurance. We get retirement benefits. If you've been in a company X number of years, especially if you're in the military or the federal government, you have great retirement packages in terms of, well, maybe not great, but better than the average person in terms of, you know, how much you're guaranteed to still receive after you, quote, unquote, retire.
Yeah.
If you don't stay in the league for the league minimum, you don't qualify for any of those benefits.
And I'm not quite sure what it is now. I don't know if it's changed or not, but I have a friend of mine who played a long time for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think he got his pension after the first 5 years. Or he had to be in a minimum of 5 years to get pension. So now once he's retired, so now he's, you know, sitting on a you know, six-figure a year pension, which is really nice. But the minimum you have to play is 5 years, but the average,
that's the minimum I remember,
is just under 4 years.
Exactly. And that's if I remember correctly, Eric, that was the minimum. I'm gonna have to agree with you. To my knowledge, that was also the minimum that I remember, was the 5 years. So if the average person gets injured with a permanent life altering injury that negates their ability to play, you didn't make the five-year cut. You don't have these guaranteed dollars, especially under the new rookie contract.
Right.
And, you know, it makes and look at, I mean, what the 49ers have lost, what, 3 players to retirement? Retirement.
Yep.
You know, and I don't want to sound like AI in practice, but we're talking about retirement. We're talking about people who have literally looked at this and said, no, I'm good.
Right. And
so
I know we kind
how
of
unrealistic
it,
is it to, well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying, Eric, how unrealistic is it to then want to get guaranteed money?
Well, I have this discussion every year, and, you know, with whoever, and it's usually someone that's, and I mean, the point is very valid. It's usually a discussion like, you know, we're teachers or police officers, doctors, blah, 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 should be making more than the professional athletes. You know, I get that.
I agree.
But you're also putting your health and sometimes your life on the line by playing a game like this. Therefore, you know, everyone's going to want some kind of guaranteed money in case something happens.
Right.
You know, you may be, you know, mid-20s or, you know, late 20s, early 30s, have a family to take care of. All of a sudden, you know, you have a severe knee injury you can't come back from, or the team doesn't believe you can come back from, and now they don't want to pay you anymore. So now what are you going to do to maintain your lifestyle?
Exactly.
And for a lot of people, that puts them into a downward spiral that they never get out of.
Right.
So I can understand, you know, a player wanting to say, you know, hey, I appreciate the offer, but, you know, I'm going in another direction because I want some guaranteed money. And, you know, go from there.
Right. And again, you're not going to get a disagreement from me. And I think that, you know, one of the things we were talking about too, we're only talking about the physical injury. We haven't even touched the issue of the mental and emotional injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
right.
and the head traumas, and because, you know, we probably spend the rest of the show talking just about those alone. But clearly those are legitimate.
And I know the NFL has made an emphasis on that in recent years, but, I mean, they haven't even really scratched the surface on that, to be honest with you.
No.
I mean, there are college players now coming out that are like, you know what, I'm done. I've had too many concussions. I'm, you know, losing
mm-hmm.
my memory. I'm walking around feeling dizzy. I'm
mm-hmm.
done. So, yeah, I mean, we can talk a whole week straight without any commercial breaks and still be on that same topic.
Right. And let's just be honest, the equipment and the bills associated with just monitoring your brain activity is astronomical.
Exactly.
From MRIs to CAT scans. And again, remember, people forget, once you're out of the league, there is no insurance policy. There's no team doctor taking care of that for you. That's you
right.
paying for that. And I don't know, and with no health insurance, you've got to now go buy your own health insurance. And I, you know, and not even going down the whole Obamacare, good, bad, and different, the end of the day, the bills have to get paid. So you're talking about physical
yep.
bills as well as the bills for dealing with whatever traumas there are, plus if you have to go to a psychologist or psychiatrist or a shrink, counselor, whatever have you, you know, so that you can
right.
be able to function. I mean, so that adds a whole other layer and dimension to what, you know, these kids play and, you know, and what they do and what they're capable of doing. But I want to, and then not to totally switch topics, but that's what you said a minute ago was a perfect segue into the next segment that I wanted to discuss, which was youth football. And, you know, and you mentioned that some people are starting early to get out, but on a, you know, but on a positive note, I don't know if you heard this story, but back in February, there was an article about Snoop Dogg. And did you know that he's a football coach and he has his own team?
Yeah, I've known that for a few years now. He's been coaching a little league team out in California.
Mm-hmm. I think it was his son's team. Well, back in 2005, he founded Snoop Youth Football League, the SYFL, in an effort to provide an opportunity for inner-city kids to participate in youth football. And in February, we missed this, but according to the article on the – I'll make sure I quote it correctly. According to the article written in February of this year on the Live Civil website, they announced that 20 of their players committed to play football at Division I colleges. And that's amazing. Since 2005, they've had more than 1,300 children participating in the program. And according to this list, these are just some of the colleges that these students have attended: Boise State, San Diego State, San Jose, Washington State, UCLA, USC, Oregon State, Cal Berkeley, Arizona State, Hawaii, Montana State, Idaho State, Fresno State, UNLV, and Alabama State University. That's
yep.
amazing.
And his son just committed to UCLA last year, or this past season.
His son was the only, yeah, that was him actually. Cordell brought us, that was who committed to UCLA, you know.
Right.
But absolutely amazing. And I think that we downplay or maybe don't pay enough attention sometimes to just how critical and important our role as adults, you know, and parents are in trying to help kids get to the next level. And, you know, you hear the stories about, like, going back to the concussion thing. As a coach, as the adult, it is our responsibility to make sure that we are doing our part to make sure that these kids are protected and looked after so that they have a chance to move forward so that they have a chance to, you know, do well, you know, and
right.
that they have an opportunity to do their best and to succeed, and that we're setting, you know, the right foundation for them.
Yeah, definitely.
And so
yeah.
I just,
especially coaches nowadays have a huge responsibility to, you know, teach kids the right way to tackle, to block, to take hits, things like that, you know, with everybody so worried about head injuries and so many kids being pulled out of football programs.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, a huge responsibility goes to the coaches as well.
Absolutely. That's so, you know, absolutely critical to making sure that we are doing the best that we can, you know, by the kids and making sure that we are giving them the best opportunities to be successful so that when they get to, you know, this level, that they're able to succeed and to excel at their best.
Right.
Now, did you have any, and I know, like you said, you weren't really following too much, but were there any other stories that stood out for you?
From this particular week, not really, but of course, you know, recently Adrian Peterson having to report to camp. Now he's, you know, all gung ho about, you know, being a Viking. It was just, to me, the whole situation was just funny how it went from, you know, I'm never coming back to I might come back to, okay, I'm back and I want to be a part of it. So, and a friend of mine that I work with is a huge Minnesota Vikings fan, so I was always teasing him about the possibility of him, you know, coming to Dallas, or I know there was a rumor going around he might be traded for Matt Forte and all this stuff. So, you know, that's probably the biggest story I've been following recently.
Now, what I can't even begin. I don't even know where to begin with that because it's so confusing. First, like you said, it was I went out. Now it's, oh, I want to be back, but pay me. Now I'm just happy, and I guess we're supposed to believe that everybody's just happily skipping down the yellow brick road toward, you know, potential Super Bowl win. And I'm not buying it. I'm not
buying it.
No, that's fine. I'm just sitting here scratching my head, and I'm just like waiting for the next shoe to fall, waiting for the next shoe to drop, because it's not vibing with me. And I'm just sitting here waiting for, actually, sadly, I'm waiting for the Vikings to implode. And my girlfriends who are diehard Vikings fans, please don't beat me up, not because I wish ill for your team. I just think this is pure madness.
Well,
if you want it out,
you
let him go.
Well, I think if you look into it deeper, I mean, the Vikings were never going to let him go. I mean, that's, you know, he's arguably the best player in the league. And if you're a team that's, you know, trying to, you know, struggling every year just to have a winning record, you're absolutely not going to let him go if he's under contract. Now, I know he, you know, kind of left a bad taste in his mouth that, you know, some of the people in the organization didn't back him up during that whole, you know, child abuse situation, which, you know, he also needs to grow up and understand that that's going to happen because of the situation that he put them in. But, you know, once he finally realized that, you know, okay, they're not going to let me out of my contract, no other team is going to buy out the contract, I still want to play, well, you know what, I guess I'm just going to have to be happy and accept it and go ahead and play. So to me, that's the kind of the situation I'm seeing. But I'm just saying it's just funny how the whole thing started to where it is now. Like, okay, I'm ready to roll now. So.
Right. Well, you know, you brought up a point. You know, I'm really glad you said that. And I know, and I swear, I promise not to make this all about the Cowboys, but do you think Dez is going to feel the same way that Adrian Peterson did about, I just want to play, I'll just sign it? I mean, do you think that he might get to that point? Or is there a difference because Adrian Peterson was already under contract? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I know eventually he's going to get to that point because, you know, any of us that have played the game above the high school level, I mean, you're curious about it. I mean, that's your life. And the thing that scares you the most is not being able to be out there. So, you know, Adrian Peterson has already missed, you know, a whole season already, with the exception of one game.
Sure.
So now he's facing the prospect of having to miss a whole other season. So I'm sure he's reached that point now where it's like, okay, you know what, I'm just going to, you know, take the situation and I'm going to be happy with it and I'm going to play. With Dez,
okay,
I don't think he's gotten to that point yet because he played the whole season last year. Now he's only he's only missing, you know, OTAs. So, and it's not like he doesn't know the playbook or the system or the guys or anything like that. So it's not really hurting him all that much to be missing what he's missing. But, you know, if it gets to, you know, game one, he's not there. Game two, he's not there. Now all of a sudden, okay, it's, you know, let's see what we can do to get a deal done, you know, very soon. You know, or, you know, it's for him, I'm sure mentally it's going to be a tough situation if he's not out there.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And speaking of unrest, the Denver Broncos are facing a similar situation. So from the Cowboys to the horses, Demaryius Thomas is not, according to Chris Wessling of, you know, NFL writer for the network, Demaryius Thomas is not expected at the Broncos camp if there's no new deal for him. So, you know, he too has just 5 weeks before the same July 15th deadline to sign his franchise tag. And right now, Demaryius Thomas is not a happy camper. And the other person who's upset about it is Peyton Manning. Now, I really am surprised about that. I would have thought that with Peyton Manning putting his two cents in, that Denver would have gotten that together. Because really and truly, Peyton Manning has so much weight and pull and influence with the team that I really would have expected they would have done what he needed to get done. Because, if, remember, the whole point is to put the places and the pieces around Peyton that he needs. So if he's saying, I need Demaryius Thomas, I'm surprised that this has not sorted itself out.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised
about that. And he's not upset with Demaryius Thomas. Well, yeah, I'm sorry, but he's not upset with Demaryius Thomas. He's upset that he doesn't have the new deal. So I think he's also putting the onus back on the team.
Right. And I'm kind of surprised about that. And on one hand, and the other hand, I'm not, because you take a look at the way the game is played now. I mean, you've got receivers coming out of college, a dime a dozen. Most of them are extremely talented, or if not on their way to there. So on one hand, I can see, you know, wanting to, you know, get things set for Peyton so they can make it, you know, a championship run. On the other hand, I just wonder if they're thinking, okay, if Demaryius doesn't want to be here, there's plenty of other receivers out there that, you know, can eventually fit his role. Let's see what else is out there, type of thing.
Well, here's the problem, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's one key factor that people are forgetting. Well, no, I agree with you that there are a lot of that on some, put that person in there. The problem is they're forgetting Peyton Manning. Everybody knows that Peyton Manning is notorious for his off-season workouts. Him and his receivers clicking, 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 for them being able to follow his no-huddle count, for them being able to recognize whatever his little Omaha, you know, 20-50-50, whatever his little signals are, they need to know what to do and where to go. It might be something that we don't know, as slight as if I turn my body to the left, but I turn my head to the right, then boom, I want you to switch up and do a slot left 50. And all they're going to do is look for his body. But if you don't have that time with Peyton Manning in the off season to build that in, that is going to be critical to the Broncos' success. Plus, we also have to factor in they're getting a new head coach this year. So Peyton Manning, in his older years, he's got to learn a whole new system.
Right. He's been there before.
Yeah, okay, but Eric, you've played honestly, is how difficult is it? And tell me honestly, because again, never having professional football, and you played Arena League, right?
No, I was a scout in the Arena League.
Okay. That's even more critical. You still have that connection to professional sports. And how difficult is it really to adjust to a new coach's offense?
Well, it depends on the player. I mean, it can be very difficult for some players because some guys just don't pick things up as quickly as others. Some guys don't have the study habits of others. But the main thing is the biggest thing is to gel together as a team. Now, obviously, go back to the original point, Demaryius not being there, you know, yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's kind of a critical thing. But also for the guys that are, you know, coming up trying to step in there, him not being there is kind of a positive thing for them because they get more reps. And, you know, they get
that's
to
true.
Learn the different nuances and, you know, the scheme. And, you know, they're in there with Peyton Manning every day learning this and that. So that's what I'm saying. You know, with the influx of receivers coming out now, it may not be such a bad thing for the Broncos to kind of, you know, take a look in that direction. You know, there's a thing where, you know, you want to make sure Peyton Manning is happy because obviously if he's happy, he's going to be successful.
Right.
But, I mean, it's kind of it's a two-way street. You can go one way or you can go the other way. Neither way may be right or wrong. But it's kind of a point where you can go either direction and, you know, kind of see how things go from there.
That's true. Well, you know, that's actually a really valid point. And once you put it that way, okay, I will agree with you that, yes, you were right about the whole thing. Because you're right, I didn't think about it that way. I was really looking at it from the position of Peyton in that he wants what he wants and he wants who he wants around him. Very similarly to how Brady wanted Walker. He was willing to take a pay cut, you know, I think, if I remember correctly, or to readjust his salary to keep Walker in New England. And I guess I was looking at it from that point of view. Yeah, and then that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from the point of view of the quarterback who wants his key people around him, you know, with whom he's connected and gelled and vibed. So you're right. But you're right in that now he's going to have to adjust and be the professional that he is and just say, okay, this is what it is. And look at what, and in all fairness, look at what Brady did with a bunch of rookies, more or less. You know, they wrote
like
it all the way through.
Every year.
Yeah. So you're right, and once you put it out there like that, yeah, I have to agree with you. I mean, and on the other hand, and I hate to do this because I want the players to get their money, they are both Demaryius and Dez are also putting themselves in a position of forcing others to step up, you know, and your role is a fallacy because clearly Tom Brady has proved positive that it happens.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know, he's proof positive.
But on the other hand, though, as far as contracts goes, I mean, that's really the only leverage
right.
that players have is just to not
yeah.
be there.
Yeah.
it's a tough situation. Glad
very
I'm not an owner.
Oh, I know. And we got about 15 minutes left in the show, but before we start winding down, in some more NFL news, Evan Mathias, did you hear about that one?
No, I haven't.
That, you know, he was let go during the off season, and Evan Mathias with the Pro Bowler with the Philadelphia Eagles, and this will be interesting, you know, to see what the Eagles really and truly are doing. And, I mean, clearly when you're letting go of a Pro Bowler that, you know, now granted he's 30, you know, he's 33 years old, but that, you know, veteran leadership can, you know, be key if he lands with the right team. So
yeah, for sure.
What are some places that you think that Evan Mathias could land? And do you think he gets – a better question, first, do you think he's going to get picked up for this season? And if yes, where do you think he could go?
Well, I think he could definitely get picked up. Now, from what I'm hearing, though, Chip Kelly has been looking to, you know, work out a trade for him for the past couple of years, and they haven't been able to do anything. So for whatever reason, they're trying to get him out of there. I don't know if he wants to leave or you know, he's just not one of Chip Kelly's guys. But
right.
As far as where he might land, the first team I heard was the Saints, because you look at how many times Drew Brees was sacked this past season. I think it was like 27 times, you know, somewhere around, you know, the top five in the league as far as sacks. You know, a guy his size and his stature is not going to be around long if that's going to be the case. So the first team I was hearing about was the Saints. But, I mean, there's tons of teams out there that need to solidify that interior line in order to take the next step. So I'm sure he won't have any shortage of people knocking at his door.
Well, so according to around the NFL crew, and this is some teams that were thrown around, the Giants, the Seahawks, the Broncos, definitely I could see the Broncos, and the Oakland Raiders. Now, I don't know about the Seahawks. I definitely can see the Giants because Manning, number two, has not done such a good job of being able to stay on his feet last year. I mean, I think if I remember correctly, Eli had, like, one of the highest sack numbers in the NFL last year.
Right.
So I could definitely see the Giants. The Broncos, for the same reason, you've got to protect Manning. But in all fairness, his offensive line did a really good job of keeping him upright last year. You know, and they've done a very good job of keeping him upright since he's been there on that team and keeping him protected from the injury. The Raiders, I'm on the fence about the Raiders, and let me tell you why. Because I don't think Carr number two, you know, I don't know. They could always use a big man on the offensive line, but how much trouble, you know, is their quarterback really in? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm still kind of looking to see, you know, how well they keep him up. Now, if this is about protection and quarterback protection, in protecting the QB, I would look at a team more like the Jets, because neither one of their quarterbacks, well, even though Vic isn't with them this year, their quarterbacks have not done a good job of staying upright. I would look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville could definitely use some help on the offensive line with buying their quarterback a little more time and a little more pass protection. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, your Chicago Bears.
Yeah, the Bears can always use somebody. So that could definitely be a landing spot there.
I mean, so clearly, you know, we have a different list than the experts at the NFL. I think that those are some really, you know, good, valid spots for, you know, his level of talent, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
I just,
and also don't
I
overlook.
Just really...
What were you saying?
No, go ahead. I was listening.
Okay, I was gonna say don't overlook the importance of, you know, having somebody there for the run game too.
Because
there are teams that you know, look, you know, like St. Louis, you know, old school, grind it out. Buffalo is probably going to be that way.
True.
So there's something to be said for, you know, once you get out to a pretty good lead and you want to ice the game, you don't want to have to keep throwing the ball. So you want to have
that
somebody that can be
sense.
There to, you know, solidify the running game as well. So, which I understand, you know, he's pretty good at as well. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, out of 32 teams, I would say, you know, at least half would have some sort of initial interest, and probably half of that would be, you know, actually knocking at his door. So, you know, I'm sure he'll find a spot pretty quickly.
Then you don't think his age will be a factor?
I don't think so. I mean, you look at the amount of times that he's been to the Pro Bowl, so he's a high performer. He performs at a high level. He's been doing it for a while, versus someone who is 30 that, you know, maybe they went to a Pro Bowl their first couple years, and then after that they've just been kind of just existing. You know, he's been a proven talent pretty much his whole career. Now, unless he, like, say, if this past season, if he just went out with an absolute dud, then I can see, okay, well, you know, maybe teams thinking, okay, he's probably at the end of his rope. You know, we may, you know, give him a tryout, or, you know, we may, you know, say, hey, you know, you can be with us on the team, you know, kind of, you know, a second team guy or, you know, special teams guy. But no, I think teams would be looking for him to start if they, you know, come after him.
Okay. I think that that is actually really valid. You know, and that's actually not too far off. You know, that's actually not too far off. Well, we're going to end get ready to end the show again, because we've got about 9 minutes left. And I wanted to talk about something a little bit positive. Do you remember David Wilson, the former running back with the New York Giants?
Oh, yes, the guy.
The one
retired.
He had the yes, he retired, had the career-ending injury. Well, it appears that he is attempting to compete and try out for the 2016 Olympics in field.
Yep, I was just watching one of the meets yesterday. I think he came in sixth in the triple jump, I think. So,
yeah,
definitely making a run for it.
Well, and allegedly he ran track and field while he was in college at Virginia Tech, the Hokies. And, you know, so we definitely want to wish him well. Not sure how he did. I haven't checked up on that yet, but I just saw that he was attempting to make that switch. Which, of course, you know, after having that career-ending spinal injury, again, one of those things we were talking about earlier, when you're only in your second or third season and now you've got to, you know, make this type of career switch, you know, that can be, you know, devastating. So we wish him the best of luck and that he's able to successfully transition to a new career. Before we get ready to wrap up, I wanted to get your thoughts on the game tonight. Of course, we're talking about the NBA Finals.
I was going to say, you mean
the
dreaded Cavaliers?
Do you have a dog
in
the horse? You know, I'm actually happy because so far, so good. This is pretty much going the way I literally have called it, knock on wood. And I said, the Warriors take the first game, the Cavs take the second game, they take the third game. And I said, the Warriors take game four, so they tie up, they each get one on each other's court. Now, this is where I have to figure it out. If I do this right, the Cavs come back and win it tonight, and then they come back and they win it at home. And I have said the Cavs in six. Now, others have said the Warriors in six. Very few people think this is going to go to a seven-game series. If it goes to a seven-game series, I give it to the Warriors. If it goes to a seven-game series, then I give that differential to the Warriors. I don't think the Cavs have the juice to come to push themselves. Look at all the injuries they're having to push themselves to a game seven. I really think that if they're going to win it, they're going to have to do like sprinters and just go all out and win it tonight and then win game six at home and, you know, And what a fantastic story that would be for the NBA. What I don't want is I don't want the refs, however, to give them the game. You got to earn it. And, you know, but I think that that just would be so fantastic for the city of Cleveland to finally get this monkey off their back, so to speak, in terms of their own curse, you know. I don't even know what you call this. Like, there's the curse of the goat, the curse of the Bambino. That's the White Sox, right? The curse of the Bambino?
I think that was the Red Sox.
Oh, no. Okay, so who was the goat? Was the goat the White Sox then?
The goat was the... Yeah, I think that was the White Sox, because the Cubs,
okay.
I think the Cubs had there was a black cat situation somewhere in there.
Okay, I just remember there was a goat and a Bambino. Yeah, right, you're right, the Red Sox, because I think that had something to do with Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
and we obviously know the Yankees
is,
haven't been cursed. So.
No, the Yankees don't even know what that is.
Right.
Especially A-Rod is firing on all cylinders right now. Good God. A-Rod is like, okay, fine. I took a year off. I rested the body. I rested the muscles. I didn't put myself through all those strenuous paces. Let's make these balls fly. And he's literally firing on all cylinders. But I really think it would be a really good story for the NBA and for the sports world in general. Because right now, and I made this, connection or I made this analysis on Twitter, and I said, you know, right now the city of Cleveland have become the Erica Kane of sports, you know, the Susan Lucci of sports. And remember, I don't know if you're into, daytime dramas, but, you know, Susan Lucci, who played formerly Erica Kane on All My Children, went,
right.
I think, almost a record 17 nominations for an Emmy before she finally won. And that's kind of how I'm feeling right now about Cleveland sports. But it doesn't matter what sport it is. You know, they can get to the big dance, but they just can't play. You know, they get to their Cinderella without a dress, you know, but they're staying at the big dance. And, you know, or that her dress rips before midnight and she has to leave before it's over. And I just, you know, it's time. It really and truly is time, you know. So we'll see what happens tonight.
A lot of hard times for Cleveland. I mean, when I think of them, I think of all the times that they were kind of knocking on the door and something just really bad happened. Like, you know, back in the 80s when Ernest Biner fumbled the ball. Or when Michael Jordan hit that shot over Craig Elo, you know, stuff like that. It seems like whenever they get close, something bad always happens. So maybe this time they'll finally break through. But yeah, it definitely would be, you know, something huge for Cleveland, and also it'd be, you know, a great storyline for the NBA in general.
Mhm. Well, and also for, like I said, and I really think it would do something for sports in general, because right now Cleveland teams, despite having talent, continue to be the underdogs of the sports world, you know, from the football team with Johnny Manziel and all of his storyline issues, you know, to LeBron, then the decision, then the return of the king. You know, that sounds like something from The Hobbit, the return of the king, but, you know, but it's there, and the storylines are there, and I just really and truly need for there to be some kind of, you know, day of reckoning for the Cleveland sports fans. So, you know, good luck. And the Indians, too. I remember the Indians, because I think they used to have, what, David Justice? Back in the early 90s, and there was something, and I can't remember if they actually made it to the World Series or if they lost in the pennant game. But, again, you're right, the Cleveland team, be it whatever sport, they just always seem to be just right there, but not quite enough. And I just think it's time, and I just think it would be a great storyline. Well, I think that's about it. We are going to be wrapping up for tonight's show. Erica, is there any other, you want to leave us with? Anything else that you want to leave with the fans before we wrap up for tonight's show?
Nothing too, enlightening or anything like that. But just, you know, if anybody's out there listening, definitely appreciate it. You know, we definitely, you know, do this for you guys as well. So we just want to say thanks for listening.
Well said, my friend. Well said. And you know what? That's so true. We do what we do because we love sports, but we also do this because, you know, we enjoy connecting and sharing, you know, with our followers. So thank you for everyone who's taking the time to listen to us today in the No Joke Football Huddle. And again, you know, this is Nkeshi Free and Eric Brown, and we are in the Gridiron Blitz. We talk women's football, NFL, OTAs, and, you know, again, we want everyone to know that, you know, this is the No Joke Football Huddle, and we do play football like a girl. And to Erica and Oscar, you know, we can't wait to have you guys back. Again, follow us on Twitter. I'm Nkeshi Free, and you can follow me at Keshi's Cuties, K-E-S-H-I-C-U-T-I-E-S, Keshi's Cuties. You can follow Eric Brown at Fit for Life. That's life with a Y. You can follow Erica at PatFangirl12. And, of course, you can follow us on Gridiron Beauties at GridironBeauties.com and also on our Facebook page, too. So, you know, thank you again, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. We couldn't do this without you all. So until next weekend, take care, everyone.
Bye-bye. Be good.